Exodus, so second book in the Old Testament, and we have a handout for you. Commentary sermon. This will be in Exodus chapter 4, going into chapter 5. 4 into 5. So you can be turning your Bible. Turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 4, verse 27. Going through chapter 5, several verses in chapter 5. So, here we're looking at the life of Moses. All right, so, in all this, we have the Lord's dealing with one of his servants. All right, so Moses, and the name of Moses has extended through human history, and certainly a predominant name in the Bible, which is forever settled in heaven. And yet the Lord had to deal with his servant Moses, and to deal with him at the beginning of his calling, and at the end of his life as well. So he learned many things from Moses. But let's look here in verse 27. As we see now that his life has been spared because he refused to have his son Gershom circumcised. So his wife Zipporah, who was opposed to it, went ahead and was able to save Moses' life from the Lord killing him at the end. So remember, the Lord called Moses to leave Mount Sinai and then go back to Egypt. And as he went back, he met at an inn. He stopped at an inn. And verse 24 says, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. So here he's got his servant going, but now there's one more detail to take care of, and that had to take care of his family and the fact that he refused to circumcise his firstborn son. And so Zipporah realized the danger involved here, and so she did this. So now we pick it up, verse 27. And the Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God, or Mount Sinai, and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. All right, so as we look at this, I start this off with the question here, or the suggested question anyway here. So Moses, how did it work out when you rebelled against God's call and disobeyed by listening to Zipporah? So how'd that work out, Moses? Remember, the Lord called him. He had five excuses. And then he didn't take care of Gershom. So he could have said, well, the Lord retracted his call and didn't care if I obeyed about Gershom or not. No, that wasn't the answer. That wasn't the answer. So I put in there in bold, in case you missed that, wrong. So now that the Lord didn't kill you, are you still, you're still going to Egypt with a rod to face Pharaoh? And also you lost the privilege for you and your sons to be over the Levitical priesthood. So Moses, do you have any remorse over this? You see the danger of rejecting the call and commission of the Lord in a person's life. So the Lord could have killed him on the spot, but instead he worked him through this, gave him every answer to all of his excuses, all five of them. And then but Moses' life was still on the line because he hadn't taken care of Gershom in obedience to Genesis chapter 17 of circumcising his sons. And so now he lost the Levitical priesthood that went to Aaron. So you see, major loss comes when disobedience. Now Moses was a believer, and the Lord could have killed the believer, this believer, used somebody else, could have used Aaron. And he did use Aaron in part. So Moses didn't gain anything in his five excuses for not doing what the Lord wanted him to do. And what do you and I gain when we refuse to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be? Now, I'm not all called to lead the Jews out of Egypt, so thankful for that's not our call. Well, I missed that one. Phew, that was close. But we are called to serve the Lord in the local church, and so whatever it may be. Now, this was certainly a large ministry that Moses was to have, but it doesn't matter the size of the ministry. What matters is the heart of the individual ministering for the Lord. All right, and so let's look at the next point here. So after 40 years of being absent from Moses, the Lord sends Aaron. So after 40 years of being absent from Moses, 83-year-old Aaron, remember he's 3 years older than Aaron, responded to Jehovah to meet Moses in the wilderness at Horeb, or Mount Sinai. And upon finding him, Aaron kissed Moses. So Aaron missed him and kissed him. And so here we have two of these octogenarians. Can you imagine that? Moses, 80 years old. Aaron, 83 years old. And the Lord still wants to use the octogenarian. Can you imagine this? Yeah, think about that. And not only that, but for these octogenarians, the challenge would be very serious. Be very serious. So there's always a challenge to serving the Lord, doesn't matter how old you are. You never outgrow the challenge and the perhaps the fear and the desire not to do the Lord's will. You never outgrow it. And yet these two were going. All right. So you think about that. When the octogenarian age hits you, will you be ready? All right. Anyway, some of us are still working on that. All right. So Moses had to recount God's call and commission along with rod and signs. So he had to go through this again with Moses and, with Aaron. And so I wonder if he said along the way, when the Lord called me at this stage, I said no. Then when he called me here, he came back and I said no. I wonder if he had repeated that or kind of skipped over that. Anyway, so in the meantime, Moses was married to Zipporah and had two sons, so he sent his wife and sons back. Now we see that in chapter 18, so let's look there in 18. 18 is a key passage because it shows a summary here of what the Lord was doing and getting Moses ready to leave Jethro. And then certainly in chapter 19, we pick it up, and he's in the wilderness by this time. But notice here, we're told in 18:2, so Exodus 18:2, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. So now he's not taking his wife and children. Him and Aaron are going, and they're going with the elders, and they're going to go and meet with Pharaoh. So here is the challenge. Now remember, they'd been in the Egypt for 40 years, and the Egyptians were crying out to the Lord. The Jews were crying out to the Lord because of the hardship that the Egyptians had brought on them. So now we notice here in verses 29 to 31. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. So remember, Jews need signs. So the signs, in this case, it was the rod, the staffs, or the shepherd's rod in his hand. Remember, he threw it to the ground, turned it to a serpent. He picked it up and turned back to his rod. And so he does the signs there and so on. And verse 31 says, the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and they worshiped. So they appreciated, as the Lord had prepared their hearts through the difficulties that the Egyptians brought on them, to want to somebody to come along and deliver. And so the Lord was going to use Moses and Aaron and the elders and the people believed. So the Lord had prepared everybody's heart, even Moses' heart, that by this time. And so the people bowed their heads, and they worshiped to the Lord. And so here we see, we finally get around. Remember way back there in chapter 3:1, Moses kept the flock of Jethro and so on, and the angel of the Lord speaks out of the flame. And now, after all those details, we finally get down to the place where Moses, Aaron, and the elders are ready to go and have deliverance. And so here's where they sought the Lord and cried out to the Lord. All right, so then in these verses, so the narrative moved toward the two brothers meeting with the elders of Israel, or the leaders of the tribes. So Exodus chapter 18 as well tells us about the leaders here were the elders of the tribe and so on. So keep in mind now, the lengthy section getting up to verse 29 with Moses, and then in three verses, Moses there and meets, they get the elders, they go back, they talk to the people, and all this is highly compressed. So these are just details. Now, the Lord could have written through Moses, Moses wrote this, he writing about himself, Moses could have written about his call there in 3:1 and summarized it in two or three verses. Could have done that, but no, the Lord had Moses drag this all out. Very lengthy. Now we come down to this section, and it's highly compressed. They had to travel several hundred miles, go into Egypt, get the elders of the people there, and so on and so forth, and all these details. And now we're ready to go. So we'll pick this up now in chapter 5. Chapter 5, and so 5, 1 and 2 says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" So, see, this seems so easy. Remember the command there? You just go to Egypt, you tell Pharaoh you want the people to go, and the people will leave. I mean, it's an easy command, right? Got any questions there, Moses? Yeah, I can't do this. But now, so how do they get a meeting with Pharaoh? Send him an email, or how do they get a meeting with Pharaoh? Hey, we're going to show up at Pharaoh's door and say, we want you to let the Jews go. All right, so as we look here, somehow Moses, Aaron, the elders gained audience with Pharaoh and demanded that he let my people go. Now, that expression in the King James and in the Hebrews found 9 times in Exodus, "let my people go." And on the authority of the Lord God, so remember now we went over this when we have the expression Lord God, caps all, for Lord, that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the one driving this, not the God the Father, not the Son, or the Spirit, as it were, but it's the incarnate or Christophany of the Lord there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one behind all this. So Pharaoh was located in northeast Delta capital city of Zoan, which was later named Tanis. So this is way up there towards the Mediterranean Sea and the fertile area there, and that's where Tanis was, named that by a man named Tanis. And so Psalm 78 talks about this. Let's look in Psalm 78. As Asaph gives detail about how the Lord has worked in the past and will work in David's life. So in Psalm 78, Asaph likes to review all the victories. So Psalm 78. And he says there in verse 12, for instance, Psalm 78, verse 12, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He did divided the sea and caused them to pass through." So he reviews this. So Asaph, centuries later, is in David's day, is saying, the Lord did these marvelous things in the past, and he's going to do marvelous things for David. All right, so he talks about here in Zoan. Later on in the same chapter here, 78, he mentions verse 43. Verse 43, how that he wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, later named Tanis. I mentioned that. And how he turned their rivers into blood and the floods that they could not drink and so on. He brought hail and frost in verse 47, sending evil angels among them in verse 49, and pestilence in verse 50. All right, so here's a summary of what the Lord did 500 years later under Asaph and David. All right, so now they had a simple request. So they go to Pharaoh, and they say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. All right, so Jehovah is the one. Let my people go. So whose people? Jehovah's people. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. All right, so simple request here. Simple request for them to have a feast in the wilderness where they would sacrifice. Now keep in mind that these pagan Egyptians, they worshiped the cow. They worshiped the cow. Just like the Hindus and the Buddhists, they worship the cow. I mean, they're pantheistic. All right, so they worship the cow, and so they wanted to go into the wilderness where the Egyptians wouldn't see them slaughtering their deities. All right, so let us go. Now in 826, let's look at 826, this confirms the point. 826. And 8:26, Scripture says, Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will not stone us. All right, so they wanted to be removed from them. So I remember when I went to India there and was with Enoch Kumar and so on, he said, I want to take you out to a restaurant. And I want to take you out to the restaurant and we'll order some steaks. Oh, steaks. That sounds good. Of course, they worship the animal from which steaks come. He said, no, this is a safe restaurant. We can go here. They will offer us steaks. So we went out with steaks. In this restaurant in pagan India where they worship the cow, all right? Nothing happened to us. They may have prayed over the steaks, but it doesn't matter. We survived all that. We enjoyed the steaks. Amen. So anyway, think about that. Next time you go to India, see how it works out when you order steaks. Go to the right restaurants. All right, so anyway, let's move on. So So they wanted to go into the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is Jehovah? That I should obey his voice to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And so here is Pharaoh. Sounds a lot like Herod. Remember Herod? Now we've got Pharaoh. All right, so Pharaoh was over a polytheistic system of Egypt. Polytheism, remember, is many deities, but only polytheism merges into pantheism. Everything is deity, everything. So anyway, and the Lord was not one of his deities. So Jehovah is not one of my deities. I've got a lot of other deities, but Jehovah just doesn't fall under my panoply of deities. And so here anyway, with great contempt about the Jews' weak deity, if he's your deity and he can't even help these Jews, I'm not interested in him. You see, so, and certainly he can't do anything for these hapless slaves. So you want me to listen to your deity who hasn't done anything for 400 years to these slaves? I'm not interested. Who is the Lord? So he says, who is the Lord? That's the name Jehovah, not the new branding of the name Yahweh. Yahweh is not a biblical term for the Lord. Bible doesn't teach about that. And so Pharaoh, he didn't know about using the term Yahweh. He used the word Jehovah. That's because he had not studied under any German critics yet. You understand that? All right. So he was not going to obey the Jews' deity since he did not know him and his panoply of deities. So arrogant Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to listen to Jehovah. I don't know Jehovah. And I'm not going to let Israel go. All right, so there you have it, Moses. So now we jump to verse 3. So here's Moses. Now remember, he gets words from the Lord, and he gives them to Moses. Moses speaks and so on. So in milder terms. All right, let's rephrase this. Milder terms, I recast the request that the God of the Hebrews, all right, our God, God of the Hebrews, met with the Jewish leaders and asked Pharaoh, please let us go 3 days into the desert to sacrifice Jehovah our God. So notice how they changed the language a little bit. They said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee. So there, we pray thee. Na is the Hebrew word there. We pray thee. So we're basically saying, please let us go. 3 days journey into the desert, sacrifice to the Lord our God. So please do this. It's a not as harsh of a request. But then they bring in a warning. Lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. So he falls on everybody in Egypt with the pestilence or a sword. So we notice the followed with a warning about dire consequences such as the coming pestilence. And that's what the plagues were. They were pestilences. But the pestilences really didn't fall on the Jews. Pestilences just fell on the Egyptians. All right. Or, remember, maybe an invader might come in. So if you look back there in chapter 1, remember this was Pharaoh's worry here. His worry was that in Exodus 1:10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them out of the land. And so since the Jews were growing so quickly here, because the Lord was blessing the womb of the women there, Jewish women there and so on, they're afraid they'd get so large that they join with the enemy. So Moses brings this in. That judgment's going to come if you don't let us do this, and it's going to be in the form of pestilence or maybe an enemy. All right, so in 5:4, we see how he responds. So 5:4, the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you into your burdens? So here, adamant Pharaoh countered with a supposed wrongdoing of Moses and Aaron, encouraging the lazy Israelites to break from their burdens. I know what you want to do. You want to get them away from all this work that they're supposed to do. You want to give them a 3-day vacation. I know what you're wanting to do here. And no, I'm not interested in that. They have to work every day, right? You even have to work the holidays. And you don't get overtime. They're not going to get overtime working the holidays, right? All right, so so they all need to get back to their hard labor, even including Moses and Aaron. So Moses and Aaron, I know what you're doing. You want to take them on a little trip here, and he says, get you unto your burdens. That's including you and Aaron. All right, so the Lord was right. Remember, the Lord promised this. The Lord said this in 3:19. In 3:19... Lord said to Moses, before he met up with Aaron, he says, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. So Lord knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to let him go at this point. He had to take him to Pharaoh through the 10 plagues and destroy all their deities and show how ineffective Pharaoh was. So just the one effort here wasn't enough. He's going to take them through 10 pestilences or plagues. So the Lord wasn't ready. All right, so 5 through 7. And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers. So we had a division here. So the Egyptians were over the leaders of the Jews who were making their underlings do the work. So here we have the Jews, the officers, as well as the underlings having to do the work. And so that's how he had all this structured here. And so so he says, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as hitherfore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." All right, and then verse 8, "And the tail of the bricks which they did make hitherto, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go out and sacrifice our God." That's in verse 8 here. But notice in this, his accusation leveled against the two admitted the number of the Jews was great, and that they have a lot of hard work to do. Any respite may allow Jews to multiply. So he didn't want them to have any time off. You might want to have offspring, so we're not allowing them. We want you to be so tired, and so on. And so they may multiply, plus he loses this large workforce that he had. I mean, so he's not letting them off at all. "In his wicked heart, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters and Jewish officers to increase the burdens upon the Jews by withholding straw." This would be fodder for the livestock. So they'd have to go out in the fields to gather the straw and then come back, and they'd put the straw in with the mud to give some consistency to this, and then harden it in the sun there, and they make the bricks that way. "But forcing them to gather from the countryside their own straw. And the tail," that's the word tail there, which means a quota or measure, "not to be diminished for the slackers who wanted to leave." And so he was going to make it harder. So this seems to be backfiring on Moses and Aaron. Wait a minute, we're not going to get to worship the Lord 3 days out. We're going to have to do harder work, have to get our own straw, and we can't leave off the quota. We have so many bricks to make every day. Plus, this adds more burden to us. And so he's just making things more difficult. And so Moses says this in 5:23. So here's Moses. Here he's complaining. Moses is complaining. He says in 5:23, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." And so here Moses is impatient. He complains to the Lord. He wants deliverance immediately. And this is not the Lord's plan. So the Lord brings deliverance. He brings answer to prayer. But he does it in his timing and not in our timing. We always want it in our timing. "Lord, I have this problem. You've got 24 hours. Take care of it or else." Or else what? No, he does it in our timing. Part of that's for our benefit. But we have to continue to have faith. I believe he's going to answer the prayer, but didn't answer today, maybe tomorrow, or maybe the next day. It develops faith on our part. And then we see him do answering prayer. And so, but he does it in his timing. So we learned some things from Moses. So here Moses was challenged with taking 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt into the wilderness. And yet we see the heart of this man greatly challenged in all of this, but the Lord was able to use him, and we can learn these things as well. So whatever the Lord's will is for us, at whatever age he has a will for us. And we ought to be glad he has a will for us at whatever age we're at, because he wants us to accomplish the will before he's done with us. And so we can rejoice in that, but we can also learn, we can complain all the way, and we lose out so much, or we can rejoice in being used of the Lord. And so that's our choice. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the book of Exodus and learning from the life of Moses, and help us to realize that we may have that Moses heart as well as we resist and complain about the Lord's will. We pray that you bless us now. We ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.